Today's shiur will be beginning Bofa Basra Chof Dalet Omed Aleph at the top. We are in the middle of a discussion surrounding Shitas Rabbi Chanina when having a matter of doubt, and you have two possible directions in solving the doubt, two competing directions. One, follow the rove majority, the other, follow the proximity. Rabbi Chanina ruled you should follow the majority. That was stated on Chof Gimel Amud Beis. You can see the beginning of the Mor of Chanina's name was underlined to bring his name out, to embolden it. And we dot underlined his shita where there he had said Holchin Achar Horoiv. At this point in the Gemara, we notice some forms, some geometric symbols. The note on the side that appears in this Shas Ozir edition that many of you are using, geometric symbols form a series or something of a repetitive nature. In looking at the note on the side, you notice the house form. We have a ma'akav. Ma'akav means a chance to follow the Gemara play by play. That means you'll have a statement, a response, and then a statement made again, back and forth. We have noted over there that we bring here a siyua l'Rabbi Chanina, the hoilchin acha harov. We're going to try to bring a support to Rabbi Chanina that in matters of doubt, follow the majority. And what's going to be the source? Midam Isha, from female blood, meaning the woman has a cycle, the female cycle. And if the dam comes from a certain location in the body, then it's considered Tomei. And if it doesn't come from that particular area, it's then considered simply a blood that comes from a bruise or some other nature other than a Tomei nature. So our note said, we're looking at Dam Ha'isha that's found, but Shanimtza Baprozdor. We will be taking advantage of illustration 379 to appreciate this, that the Dam, in this case, is found in a part of the body called Prozdor. And we are in doubt, what was the origin of this dam? The ruling is the tomei hu. The dam is going to be considered tomei. Afalpi sho aliyah. Aliyah is the name of another internal organ, even though that organ is karov. And dam that comes from the aliyah is not tomei. In the marking note on the side, you see there's an inverted house where the point is facing down. So this is a response. The Gemara will then say, Ein l'saya midin dam ho'isha. The Gemara will attempt to say, you cannot bring support from that particular topic. Me'achar shehu roiv u'motsui. It's not just a function of majority in terms of quantity, it's also majority in terms of occurrence. In terms of motsui means regularity. So you have quantity and regularity favoring the side of the argument or the side of the classification as being Tomei. So even though the Aliyah might be closer to where this particular Dam is found, and the Aliyah is Tohor, nevertheless, on the other side of the equation, you've got another organ that's called the Mokor, and Dam that comes from the Mokor is Tomei. However, the nature of the Mokor is not only is it the majority amount of dam that comes forth from there, but it's also very regular. So let us take a look at the Gemara. Omar Abaye, four lines from the top, you see Abaye's name in a house form. Af anan name tanina, we have a Tanaic support like Rabbi Chanina. Dam hanimtza beprozdor, the woman's blood is found in that area of the body called Prozdor. Sveko Tomei. We, not knowing where it comes from, we're going to paskin, we're going to rule that it's Tomei. Shechezkosoi min hamokor. The likelihood is that it comes from that particular organ called Mokor. And Mokor, the Mokor is a source of dam that's Tomei. V'afagav di'iko aliyah demikrava, even though the aliyah organ is closer to where the dam is found, nevertheless, we go after the rove. And that point supports Rabbi Chanina. The Gemara rejects this. Amar le Rava. For later in the Gemara, it's going to be important for us to note that Rava is the speaker over here, and we have actually arrows at the side of the Gemara indicating that we'll be coming back to this later. But Rava says he can't support it. Notice how the house form inverted. So there's a response. And on the side of your Gemara, you also notice between the Gemara and the Tosfos, you notice a Dalid. That is a reference to the word Dechia, rejection, and it lasts for five lines. Amalei Rava, Roiv Umotsui Ko Amris. You're bringing me an example from something that's not only majority in quantity, but also majority in terms of regularity. It's found, it's common. Roiv Umotsui Leko Lemandi Omar. If you're dealing with some matter of doubt, and on one side of the equation there's something that has these characteristics, it's Rov and Motsui, no one would disagree that you would follow that. And in that case, no one would disagree with Rabbi Hanina. That kind of Rov certainly would solve the doubt. Detoni Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia is also a name that's noteworthy. Dam Hanimtso Beprozdor Chayovin Olov Albias Mikdash Visorfin Olov Eshatruma. What does this source bring out? That dam that's found in the same circumstance as we had just mentioned in the previous source, we said it's a matter of doubt. However, if someone had contact with that dam and then entered the Beis HaMikdash, entering the Beis HaMikdash in a state of impurity, in a state of Tuma, is an Avera. And not only is an Avera, but it's an Avera that comes with it. If it's done, if it's Peshogeg, he has to bring a korban. Ordinarily, korbanos are not brought in a state of doubt. Ordinarily, I'm not saying this is a solid rule. If you see someone bringing a korban, then you can rest assured that the circumstances behind it are a matter of certainty. Otherwise, it would be called chulin bazor. It would be called non-holy meat, non-holy korban animal being brought into the Beis HaMikdash, which is a forbidden act. So how is it that he's bringing a korban regarding dam that's found in the prozdor? It must be that we're classifying this as a matter of certainty. Hence we can say that, as the source says, chayov alov albias mikdash. For entering the Beis HaMikdash, he would have to bring a korban. And we would not classify the korban as a sofek chulin bazora. But rather, it's a full-fledged korban. V'sorfin alov es ha-truma, and similarly, truma, which is a tithe that's given to the kohanim, must be protected from tuma at all times. Let's say truma came into contact with tuma, so real tuma causes the truma to be burnt. Safek tuma, we say toilin, we would just leave it off, we leave it to the side and not do anything and let it rot, but we wouldn't actively destroy it. How come it says over here, Sorfin Olov es ha-truma, that we burn the truma? It must be that we're classifying the dam that's Nimsa b'Prozdor as certainly Tomei. And that's a function of this Rov Umotsui characteristic, that the dam came from the Mokor, because the Mokor is Rov and Kamen, Motsui. The Gemara continues, Omar Rova, Shma Mino Midrabichio Tlas. The reason that this house form is pointing up will be a matter of analysis. We're going to have to concentrate on this. Why does this section appear to be a negation of what was just said? What was just said, in fact, by Rava himself? What was just said? That the dam Animsa b'Prozdor was called Rov Umotsui, and hence it can't be a source of deciding to go like Rabbi Hanina, who was talking about a simple Rov situation. Now, notice Rava, the same man, Rava himself. What does he say? We can determine from Rabbi Chia's source 3 points. One, Shmamina, Rov v'Korov, Haloch Achar Horoif. When you have a matter of doubt, take a look at the Dam HaNimtso b'Prozdor example, and you see that you follow the Rov, that in the case of the Dam HaNimtso b'Prozdor, even though the Aliyah was Korov, We nevertheless classify the Dama Nimsa Beprozor as coming from the Mokor, which is what? Which is Rov. Point number two. Ushmamina Ruba Doiraisa. We see that from the fact that we're willing to have a fellow bring Korban. We're going to burn the Truma based on this. Ushmamina Isa L'Rabbi Zeira. And from this source, we can also confirm the din of Rabbi Zeira. The Yomar Rabbi Zeira, in a different context, first we'll read the line of Gemara, and then we'll look at the Rashi to explain, because in order to understand Rabbi Zeira, will require a background. He says, Afal Pisha Dalsos Medina Nu'ulois, even though the gates of the city are closed, we nevertheless will go Boser Rov. Before we go on in the Gemara, and we'll go over this line, let's take a look at the Rashi. Isa l'derebi zera. The Omar, Gabi Teisha Chanuyos, Rashi, you'll notice, is about halfway down the page. He says, in the realm of the case of nine stores, Peshili Perakama Dixubas, the case of the nine stores that's being referred to here, there's butcher shops. 10 butcher shops, nine of which sell kosher meat. One, unkosher meat. For whatever reason, I don't know which store is what. The signs blew off the stores. No one's around. And I found meat outside the store. I found meat outside the stores. So you have a row of stores, and I found meat outside. The Gemara there says, Uvenimtza, if you found meat outside, that's the case we just described, Halocha harov, umuter. If we knew that there were 9 out of 10 shops selling kosher, so you can enjoy the meat. There's a chance it came from the unkosher store. Doesn't matter. Go after the rov. The afalpi shadalsus medina nulois, even though the gates of the city are closed. This city is in a region where there are a lot of Jewish people, Jewish communities around. Most of the general area is of a kosher nature. The meat that you found outside these stores was meat found in a city whose gates are closed. The lesa elochad ruba lachshira, rov ho'ir. You only have one rov to serve to your advantage, namely rov of this city. Because as far as to increase the kashrus possibility by relying on the outside communities, you can't, because the gates of the city are closed, and there's no chance that the meat came from an outside community. Shetesha chanuyah shebo, that are in this city, mochros basar shchutov, or achas mocheres nevela. Nevertheless, you can rely on the one rov. Rashi's getting into more background here. Deiko milsa, there are things, deboinon be tre rubi. There are other cases that are stated in Maseches Ksubis that you require two favorable robes in order to machshir the item in discussion. In that case, the Gemara is focusing on matters of genealogy, pureness of background. Kigon, Dalsos Medina Psuchos, an example of two robes that you would have could be where the gates of the city are open. Verov tabochim svivois hamadina Yisrael, and rov of the surrounding butcher shops are Jewish. Deiko lemezal boser trei rubi lachshira, namely rov ho'ir verov haboyin michutzala. Nevertheless, we're saying, like Rabbi Zeira, you don't need that. You don't have to have those two roves. And how do you see that from the source of Rabbi Chiya? So that's what the Gemara is about to say. But we are going to read the Gemara again from Rabbi Zeira's comment. The Omar Rabbi Zeira. We see from Rabbi Chiya's source, like his teaching, that you can be machshir, the item in question, afapi shadalsois medina ne'ulois, even though the gates of the city are closed, in the case of the kosher meat, since rove of the stores in the vicinity of where you found the meat are kosher, that's sufficient. And you don't have to draw upon rove of the surrounding area. Deha isha, a woman, dechidalsos medina ne'ulos damya. The woman is a closed organism in this sense. The matter that we're discussing is closed. There isn't dam that's coming from outside. It's coming from within her only. Ve'afilu hachi ko'azlina bosaruba. And even so, we are determining our suffix by the one rove that's at hand. The Gemara asks, how can Rava say this? Let's just review what we saw Rava say. What did he say just above? So we go up, we just scan up to the next arrow above. Rava said that we can determine from the case of the Dam HaNimtza B'Prozdor that in the first conclusion he said, Rov Ikorov Halocha Achara Rov. Right. That's what he said from the Dama Nimsa B'Prozdor. Did Rava make any previous comment regarding Dama Nimsa B'Prozdor? Well, he did. And you can find that by scanning up and seeing the first arrow. And at that point, Rava was himself the one that rejected the case of Dama Nimsa B'Prozdor as supporting Rabbi Hanina, that you can't learn from it Rov versus Korov Go Achar the Rov. Why not? Because the case of Dam Ha'isha was Rov Umotsui. How is it that there he rejected it as an example of simple Rov, and here he's saying from here you do learn simple Rov, singular Rov without Motsui? The Gemara asks, the Ha Rova Hu Dekoma Rov Umotsui Leko Lemante Omar. But Rova himself said earlier that the case of Dam Nida, the Dam HaNimtza B'Prozdor, was different, because it's a case of Rov Umotsui, and that everyone would agree with. How can he therefore conclude from Rabbi Chiya's source that this is a source to see that simple Rov is enough? The Gemara answers, Hodar Bey, Rova Me'ahi. Rova, in effect, retracted from his classification of the Dama Nimsu B'Prozdor as Rov Umotsui. We could take a look at the Rabbeinu Gershom across from here in the outside section of Rabbeinu Gershom. He says, Hodar be rova me'ahi dili'el. De'lo bo'inon rovu motzui, elo dazlinon bosor kol rov. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form as far as our sugyas are concerned, namely the diamond. The diamond, as all geometric forms in our Shas, Ozer, Pre-Mark, Gemara edition suggest, some type of series or something of a repetitive nature will appear. Let's take a look at our note in the outside margin. These diamonds are, under the heading Nosei and Mivneh, She'elois Be'inyon Yayin Nesech, Sheha Gemara Menase Lodun Bohem Lior Sugyas Rov V'Korov. We're going to have three cases or issues or happenings, maisim, which involve yayin nesech. Yayin nesech is wine that had some contact with Gentiles. Without getting into details, Mirtz Hashem, those of us who are learning, and hopefully everyone will learn all of Shas, and there'll be zoicha to learn Maseches Avodah Zorah, where the halachas of yayin nesech are discussed in depth. As we go along, we'll see some issues concerning wine and issues of roiv versus korov. Itmar, chovis shetzofa benohar. A barrel of wine found floating in the river. Omar, rav, nimtzeis keneged ir sherubo yisrael mutar. If the barrel is found next to a city, at the point that you found it, it's found near a city that's Rov Yisrael, you can take the wine and tmuter. Keneged ir sheruba nochrim asira. If, however, the point at which you found it in the river was opposite a town that was Rov Goyim, the wine is forbidden. Ushmuel Omar, afilu nimtzeis keneged ir sheruba Yisrael asira. Shmuel being restrictive, that even if it's found near a city that's Rov Yisrael, It's forbidden. Why? Amur, me'ihi dekira asoi. It floated downstream from a town called Ihi Dekira, an example of a town that's non-Jewish. So we have a machlokes, Rav and Shmuel. What about wine found in the river near a city that's Rov Yisrael? Lemo b'de Rabbi Chanino komifligi. Demor isle de Rabbi Chanino umor lesle de Rabbi Chanino. Let us suggest, and notice the lemo is double underlined with the dots in it. This is another form of series marking. And on the side of the Gemara, we're going to tell you that they are nisyonos lekasher hamikrim leshitas Rabbi Chanina, attempts to associate these incidents with Rabbi Chanina's opinion, namely like him or not like him, but nevertheless to associate the Gemara with Rabbi Chanina and his issue of following Rov. So how would this machlokas Rav and Shmuel tie into shitas Rabbi Chanina? The first more here was more isle de Rabbi Chanina. Shmuel would seem to go like Rabbi Chanina. See, Shmuel was not impressed with the issue of korov. He said, look, you know, it could very well have likely come from the goyish area, which is not korov. So we can then say he, being non-korov, is going like Rabbi Chanina, who went boser rov. More Lesley de Rabbi Chanina, Rav, who determined the identity of the wine based on proximity, not based on majority possibilities, but based on proximity. He said if it's near a Jewish city, then it's kosher. He does not hold like Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina said you determine things based on the rov as opposed to the korov. Lo, dekulei alma islehu de Rabbi Chanina. Both Rav and Shmuel, even Rav, would base himself on rov. So then why in the river and the wine barrel was he willing to go boser korov? V'hacha b'hoka miflagi. Here in the case of the wine, the machlokis, Rav and Shmuel, as follows. D'mor sovar, Rav, who was not choishesh, that it came from Ihi Dekira, that it came from the goyish place, im oisa d'me'ihi Dekira asoi, if it were so that it came from Ihi Dekira, it's very likely that the word should be read as im isa, that it came from Ihi Dekira. Akuli upshuri havamit b'ila. It would have been drowned by all kinds of river phenomena, all kinds of twists in the river and protrusions that might appear, rocks that protrude, the barrel would have never made it this far. Rashi describes this a little bit further down on the page. Ikuli pshuri havutavilo harbe mekoymus yesh mishom viadkan shemay mit aklin u misgalgalin kegalgal. There are places in the river that it's crooked, it's twisted, and there might be whirlpools that form in the river. All of these disturbances come because of rock protrusions that are in the river. And the water covers these rocks, so the rocks are actually a bit under the surface of the water, but their presence causes whirlpools, right? And the hasfinos misgagalos sham v'tovos, and boats that travel, the river boats that travel over these areas, they can't see there's anything unusual underneath. But when they hit these spots, there's some type of intense current just under the surface of the water that causes even the boats to sink. So that's Rav's opinion, that in general, we would follow Rov. But to suggest that the wine came from the location of Goyim upstream, that's very unlikely. Umor Savar, Shmuel is of another opinion. He says, Harifo denaro nokat vasoi. He says, I'm not willing to exclude the possibility of having coming upstream because maybe the current of the river drew it over all of these disturbances and brought it down to this point. A new case. Hahu chatzva de chamra, a barrel of wine, Dishtakach bepardesa de orla. It was found in a vineyard. But the vineyard were young trees. They were young vines. They were orla vines. They were within their first 3 years of growth. So I found a barrel of wine in such a vineyard. Orla, as is well known, is forbidden to consume. It's osir bahano, forbidden to derive benefit from it. Sharia Ravina. Ravina allowed, he was matir the barrel of wine. Now, why was he matir it? Lema, let us suggest, mishum de sofer lo laha de Rabbi Chanina, because he says, determine things based on rove. Well, rove vines are not orla. So I can matir the wine. The Gemara says, no, we're not going to associate Ravino's psak with his holding like Rabbi Chanina. Shiny hasam, de'i migniv mina. If you were to think that the wine should be usur based on its having been stolen wine from this vineyard, from these orla plants. Atsnui begave lo mitzni. The thief wouldn't have hidden the barrels in the same location that they came from. Vahani mili chamra. Everything that we've said now that applies to wine. Namely, I have found these hidden barrels. Looks like, you know, someone stole them and hid them. And I found them, these hidden wine barrels, in the vineyard of Orla. There we rule mutter, based on the logic that a thief wouldn't hide a barrel of wine produced from this vineyard in the very same vineyard that the barrels found. Avol, the Gemara says, invi mitzni'i. Let's say you found packages of grapes. Wasn't processed. Hidden in an Orla vineyard. So he would hide the stolen grapes in the same place that he stole them from. The Rashi is found a few lines from the end. I goniv minei atznui begave lo mitznei. Ein derech ganovim lahatznia hayayin b'mokoim shegonvuhu misham. Thieves wouldn't hide the wine from the vineyard from which it was stolen. Mishum demisyore shemo yimtzeihu dorech ganovim. He's afraid that the person who processed the grapes, who trampled the grapes to make the wine, that the trampler would find it. He doesn't want it to be found, so he wouldn't hide it in the same area that it was taken from. However, in the case of grapes, there is no trampler to be worried about. So he would hide it there. So in that case, he would not be allowed to eat those grapes. Continuing in the Gemara, Hano Ziki de Chamra. These are flasks of wine. They're the Ziki, or no dose. They're, we could call them leather sacks of wine, as opposed to barrels. The ishtakhan be kufoi. They were found amongst vines in a vineyard that belonged to a Jew. Sharinu Rava. Well, he was machshir. He said they're mutter. These are this wine found in these flasks. And if he's saying it's mutter, it seems to be that he's saying it's because it comes from over here. It comes from Korov. Because we said it was a Jewish vineyard. Lema lo sovar lo lida Rabbi Chanina. Let's suggest that he does not hold from Rabbi Chanina. What did Rabbi Chanina say? You don't go buster Korov, you go buster Rov. Moore says no. Shiny Hossam, the case in which Rava was matir the wine is different. Dishvuchoi Yisrael Ninhu. Rashi at the top, Dishvuchoi Shofche Yayin Minachovis Lenodos, Limkor Li Oivre Drochim Beminida Zois, Kinemesayim Beozu. Namely, the people who would transfer the wine to these leather flasks, these nodos, transferred from barrels into these. Who did that in this region? Jewish people did it in this region. So the wine didn't come into contact with Gentiles. The ones who poured it into the flasks were themselves Jewish. The Gemara goes on and says, "Vahani mili baravervi," that we can machshir the wine based on everything we've said. That's if we're dealing with large nodos. Avol zutri, if they were small flasks. They weren't 2 liter size. They were like what, 2 half-gallon barrels. They were sacks. They were pint sacks. Then, Amor, we suggest that possibly may oivrei drochim noful. It fell from wayfarers, from travelers. To understand this, we'll take a look at Rashi. Second line, he says, the heter was beravavi, large nodos, large sacks of wine. The leko lemechash leruba di almo. When they're large and, of course, filled with wine, they're quite heavy. You don't have to bring into consideration the general world population, namely the rove, lemeimar, to say may ovrei drochem nofel, that it fell from them. Why, they're heavy. People aren't going to travel a horseback with heavy receptacles. However, the Gemara said, if they're small, they're easy to hold in your hand to take a quick swig. Then we do factor in the possibility it came from wayfarers, because that's what people who are traveling horseback, they carry light, and that's what would render the wine to be part of a chashash, a suffix that maybe it's unkosher. The Gemara goes on. Ve'i ika ravravi bahadayu. If I found small flasks with large ones together, Amur ba'avruri have manchi, that they were placed there to help balance the load. Let's take a look again at Rashi for this. Ve'iiko ravri badayu af haktanim mutorim. If you found small flasks with large ones, then even the small ones, which we said before would be unkosher, would be considered unkosher, they will be considered kosher. De beravervi lav urchayu de oivrei drochim. Large ones, it's not likely, it's very unlikely that it came from wayfarers, from travelers. So the presence of the large ones will serve to machshir the small ones. So you'll ask, what were the small ones doing there if it wasn't coming from long-range travelers, but rather from local people? Ela kulu miloikche yayin shel medina zu ninhu v'Yisrael hein haktanim she'ein derech lelokeach yayin lahaviyam. We will tell you that all of them, the large ones certainly, and even the small ones, are from local people, because it's not customary for people traveling long distances to have large ones with them. So what was the role of the small ones? Rashi continues, Eimur ba'avurei have manchi, lahashvois masa hachamor, to help balance the burden on the animal. Kishieshte noidoi ze godol mize me'at, umachbid hamasa letzad echod. We call this balance the load. If you have two large wine receptacles, one on either side of the animal, one was larger, one was weightier than the other. Manichem oid noid koton etzlo lahashvois hamasa. What would they do? They would take another small one to help balance out. From one side you had something weighing 100 pounds and the other one 98 pounds. And that affected the animal's ability to travel. So put another 2 pounds on one side, so you got 100 on each side. Hence, in such a case, the small ones would also be kosher, would be considered kosher. Mishnah. Marchiken es ha'ilon min ha'ir, Esrim v'chomesh amo. The topic that we've noted on the side is an issue of distancing trees from the city. We're going to notice in the Rashi that we're concerned with municipal beautification. That as far as municipal planning is concerned, when you have a city, the beauty is enhanced when you have a belt around the city that is free from, that is open, free from trees as well. The Mishnah therefore tells us that keep trees from the city a distance of 25 amas. Ubechorav ubeshikmo chamishim amo. These are trees that are they're larger trees with many more branches, so they should be kept at a distance of 50 amas. Abashol omer kol ilon srak chamishim amo. Non-fruit-bearing trees, they should all be kept, all of them are kept at 50 amas, even if they're not chorav ubeshikmo. Im ho'ir kodma, if you have a city that was built first, and subsequently trees were planted too close, koitzeitz v'einoi noisein domim, the trees are to be cut down, and the owner is not compensated. V'im ilon kodam, trees have been growing, they're owned by some party, and they decided to build a city near the trees. Koitzeitz v'noisein domim, we do cut the trees down, but the owner of the trees is compensated. Sofek zeh kodam, koitzeitz v'eino noisein domim. If there's a matter of doubt, so in matters of doubt, when it comes to forcing money payments, we say leave things as they are until someone would bring, in this case, until the owner of the trees would bring a raya that the trees were there first. My time, what's the reason for this distancing? Omar ulo mishum noi ho'ir, because of city beautification. The Gemara asks, why do you cite city beautification as the reason for it being treeless? There's another legal basis for having it be treeless. The tepukle, the ein oisin sode migrosh, v'loi migrosh sode. This is a quote from the end of Maseches Erechin, where there's a description of cities. As far as the Torah is concerned, the Levite cities were constructed like this. But the Gemara here is applying it to our discussion, that there was a belt kept maintained around the cities. And as far as our halacha is concerned, around the city there was an area reserved for fields. That's called Sodeh. There was also an area around the city called Migrosh. That's the open area. Left open, uncultivated. And the rule there is that you cannot change the identity of those areas. In other words, the area that's reserved for being a Sodeh, it's to be cultivated. You can't convert that into the migrash. And what's relevant for us, it says, "Velo migrash sodeh." The area of migrash, which was a belt of 1,000 amas in width around the city, this 1,000 amma belt around of width that was around the city, you cannot make that into a cultivated area, into a sodeh. So the question is, why do you have to cite city beautification? You can cite this, that you don't convert the migrosh into a sodeh. In raising this as a question, when it says you can't make a migrosh into a sodeh, the thought, the havamin, at this point, and Rashi emphasizes this, this is, you can't make it into a grain field, nor a tree orchard, a tree field. So why do we need Ula's teaching of Noi Ho'ir? Gemara answers, Lo Tzricha. I need Ula's teaching The Rebbe Lozer diyamar oisin sodeh migrosh umigrosh sodeh. According to Rebbe Lozer, that you are allowed to convert these belts that are around the city, one to the other. Nevertheless, hacha mishum noyo ir lo avdinan. Even so, as far as noyir still plays a role, that for the 25 amas, or 50 amas, depending on what kind of trees you're talking about, they must, under all circumstances, be left free, treeless. That even though the 1,000 amas around the city that is called Migrosh could be converted into an agricultural area, trees, fields, nevertheless, the 50 or 25 amas closest to the city must remain treeless. The Gemara continues, Ula Rabbonan Nami, not just Rebbe Lozer, but the Rabbonan as well, that said, Ein oisin sode migrosh velo migrosh sode. And then we asked, if that be the case, so I don't really need Ula's din of city beautification, it's already contained in this halacha that you can't make a migrosh into a sode. Hani mili zroim. That is as far as planting plants as opposed to trees. Avo ilonois avdinon. If you had the migrosh area, the 1,000 amma belt around the city that we said is supposed to be left uncultivated, that's insofar as fields of grain, of vegetables, but you could plant in a migrosh area trees. Nevertheless, the hocha, even though there is that allowance, as far as the 25 amas around, immediately around the city, mishum noi ha'ir loi, that area must be left treeless. Umeno temro de shiny bain zroyim lilonos. What basis do you have for making such a distinction that you could distinguish between, halachically, between plants and trees? There is a place in which such a distinction is made. Maseches Erevin, de Sanya. We have a Tanaic source, but to appreciate the Tanaic source, a certain amount of background is necessary. The best way to appreciate this the Rashi that will help us for this is in the middle of the Omid, Karpif Yoisrimi Beisosayim Shehukof Ladira. We're going to be talking about Hilchas Shabbos, Hilchas Tiltol, as is found in Maseches Erevin. Rashi says, Sosayim Hu Shiur Chotzer HaMishkan. It's the dimensions of the Mishkan Chotzer. V'nosnuhu Chachomim Shiur L'chol Hekif Shlo Hukof Lodur B'soichoi O Lishtamish Min Abayas L'tocho. This is an area, dimension of size of an area that the Chachomim ascribe to an enclosed area that even though Midoraisa is considered a Rishus HaYochid because it's enclosed on all sides, nevertheless, it hasn't been enclosed for the purposes of dwelling, for domestic use, living use. Kagon Karpif Shebebika, like an enclosed area out in the fields, in the valleys, outdoors. Aval Hamukaf Ladira, Afilu Beis Asora Kurin Metaltalin Boy. However, if you have an area that was enclosed for the purpose of living there, building a house there, all kinds of living considerations, then there's no size restriction. So what we mentioned about the sosayim, the two saw area that's enclosed, as being a limiting amount, it's limiting when the enclosed area is not for dwelling purposes. However, if something was hukaf ladira, then you can have a very large, as large an area as you like that's enclosed, l'shem dira, and metaltel, and carry around in that area. V'komar hocha, yeser mi beis sosayim shehukaf ladira, hu mutar l'talta b'kulo. We're being taught here that an area, even though it's more than two saw, since it was enclosed for dira purpose, for living purposes, you're allowed to carry throughout the whole area. So we're going to bear that in mind as we go on in the Gemara. At this point, we see a Tanaic source, Desanya. And let's not forget, we're looking for a source in which you find a distinction between plants and trees. Karpif yoiser mi beis sosayim shehukaf ledira. We will be able to take advantage of illustrations 386, 387, and 388 as we go along in this source. Nizra Rubo. This area was what? More than two saw. However, it was hukaf ledira. So at first glance, it would appear to be mutter letalta bekulo. What did the owner do? The owner went ahead and planted plants over the majority of the area of this enclosed area, this karpif. Nizra rubo, harehu kegina v'osur. He changes the identity thereby, and it becomes like a gina, and it loses the shein dira, and osur to metaltel. Nita rubo, if however, he planted trees there. Harehu kechotzer umutter. The presence of trees doesn't change the identity of it as a living area. So, as we promised before, to show a distinction between plants and trees, here we see such a distinction. Continuing in the Gemara. V'im ho'ir kodma koitzeitz v'eino yinoisein domim. The Gemara asks, "My shno gabi bor." Why? Well, what's the difference between our Mishnah and the case of the pit, where the pit was first? It says, "Dekotoni koitzeitz v'noisein domim." The tree is to be cut down because the pit was there first, and the bal habor compensates. He compensates the value of the tree to the owner of the tree. Umayshna hocha, where the city was first, paralleling it to the case of the boar being first, but yet it says here, dikotoni koitzeitz v'enoi noisein domim. No compensation is made to the owner of the trees. Omar Rav Kahana. Notice there's a diamond around Rav Kahana, draws our attention to the fact that there will be another diamond. That's the nature of the marking system. On the side of your Gemara, notice an explanation. You have here a Roman number 1 and a 2 accompanying the diamond. They are Beis Lashonos, two versions, the Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana will appear twice in the next few lines. These are two versions. So in the first version, Rav Kahana is coming to explain why is it that in the case of the city coming first, the tree needing to be cut down, and yet he doesn't receive compensation as opposed to the case of the boar. He says, Kidro debe shutfi lo chamima velo kariro. First, the literal translation would be that a pot in which something's cooking up that's jointly held is never hot, never cold. In other words, things that are of a joint nature, in our case we'll be talking about a city, everyone is hoping that the other guy will take care of it. How does that affect us here? We'll take a look at the Rashi. Lo chamimo velo kariro. Shezeh soimech al zeh. Everyone's relying on the other guy. Afkan demeho ilan, in the case of the city. The city was reason for the tree to be cut down. The city was there first. The tree had to be cut down. And what happens? Everyone's relying on the other one. Afkan deme ilon mi yitnam. Who will pay? Ibosa lahatilam al b'nei ayir. If you try to tax the people, kol echad omer mi meni lo yaschilu. Don't start collecting from me. I'll pay when the next guy pays. V'nimso ilon oimed. The tree will just continue standing. Vo'ir megune. The Ein Zu Tiferes, Eretz Yisrael. And this detracts from the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara goes on and says, Umay Kushya. Why is it necessary to raise a problem from the case of the boar to the case of the city? Dilmo shiny hezeka de rabbim mehezeka de yochid. Maybe we should make that. Maybe the following distinction is reason for the difference. That where it's a matter of damage or impingement upon the public, so there the ruling is kotzeitz v'eino no sein domi. There's no compensation. In the case of where the private person is affected, there is compensation that's made. Before we go on, let's just make a quick glance at Rashi on Chof Hei Amud Beis. He explains why is it that where the boar was there first, then someone planted a tree, that he bichlal gets compensated, the owner of the tree. After all, you could have said that he shouldn't have planted the tree. Why is there any compensation made? So we'll take a look at the Rashi on Chof Hei Amud Beis. It says, V'no Sein Domim. Rashi there says, the lower third of the page, Dekevon Debirishus Nota, She'eno Mazik Adzman Godol. Rashi's in a very interesting terminology that Rashi uses, that he says he planted birishus. What does that mean, he planted birishus with permission? He planted with permission in the sense that when he planted, he wasn't causing any damage. The damage that results from the tree happens only a long time later. Lo chayvu chachomim lokutz below domim. The chachomim did not impose upon him the obligation of cutting down without compensation. Rather, he'll cut down, but yes, receive compensation. Bishvil hezeko de yochid. Notice this very interesting Rashi. He adds, because we're dealing with the nezik of a private person, so there is compensation made. I believe that Rashi is making reference to the Gemara here on Chof Dalet Amud Beis, and to our Gemara, which makes this distinction between nezik de rabim and nezik de yochid. So, as you can see, as you find all throughout learning, that here there's no reference to another Gemara in the Rashi that we read on Chof Hei Amud Beis. But it's pretty clear that Rashi, in his simple running commentary, is making reference to another sugya. This brings out the point that we make often, that in order to truly appreciate Mefarshim, you have to learn and hopefully know all of Shas. Because in the course of their running commentary, they'll often use ideas without citing the source for them at all, because it's assumed that the reader, that the one who's learning, is familiar with all of the sources. That having been said, the Gemara goes on and says that there really was no need to bring in Rav Kahana to resolve a difficulty that really was never a difficulty. Ela, I itmar de Rav Kahana, asefo itmar. If Rav Kahana's comment is going to have value for our discussion, it must have been made on the seifa, which says, im ho ilon kodam, if the city was there before the town, koitzeitz v'noisein domim. We'll also note the order of events. First the tree is cut down, and then payment is made. Of course, the fellow deserves payment. His tree was there first. They went and built the city, and why should he lose out completely? So compensation is made. The Gemara goes on, V'leima lehu, let the owner of the tree say, Havu li beresha domi v'hadar ekutz. Pay me first. Notice, change the order. Pay me first, and then I'll cut down the tree. Amar Rav Kahana, if you're going to wait for the people of the town to collect the money and pay him, and only then the tree would get cut down, he might be waiting a long time. Kidro de Beishutfi lo chamimo velo kirira. The jointly held pot is never cold or warm. Namely, it's never really taken care of. The Rashi on the second line under the Gemara says, Lo chamimo, im boso lahamtin ad matan mois. If you're going to wait for him, the owner of the tree, to get his money from the townspeople, yamoid le'orech yomim. The tree's going to stand a long time because he's waiting first to get his money. Each one of the city is waiting for the next guy to pay first. Ubalu ilon roitze bekach. Lefikoch. Therefore, we say, Yokuts, first cut it down. V'yachakach yigve mo'isov mehen bebeisdin. Then he'll go to Besdin, try to activate the strength of the law to get his money. One could be medayeg from this Rashi that Besdin won't be activated until some action took place, namely the cutting down of the tree. Prior to that, Besdin would not take action. Continuing in our Gemara, Sofek ze kodam v'sofek ze kodam, koitzeitz v'eino noisein domim. The Gemara asks, "My shno mi bor de amris lo yokutz." Why is the case of the city and the tree and the matter of doubt different than the case of the bor and a matter of doubt? In the case of the bor and a matter of doubt, we say it's not cut down. In the case of the city, we say it is cut down. The Gemara answers, Hossam, in the case of the boar, de vadai is to be read as a separate word. And that's why we have it in singular quotation marks. Namely, the case of vadai, tree coming before boar. In that case, tree before boar. Lav lemekatskoi, it's not to be cut down at all. Sveko nami loy amrinon lekots. Where there's doubt, we'll also say, don't cut down. Hacha, in the case of the city, de vadai lemekatskoi, in the case where tree is first. But even so, where's Vadai first? Even so, the tree is to be cut down. In other words, in the case of city, trees are always cut down. Even in the case of the Vadai, tree first, it's to be cut down. Sveiko nami amrinon le koitz. We'll tell in the matter of doubt, we'll also say koitz. Vi'i mishum domi, and if you have a concern regarding the collection of money, in other words, we said in the case of Vadai tree first, he gets compensated from the city. What about in the case of Safek? Amrinon le, we tell him, the tree owner, I see Raya, Ushko, you bring a Raya, bring proof that your tree was there before the city, and get paid. Marchiken es hagurin kavua min ho'ir chamishim amo. Lo yase, we distance a gurin, a place where grains were processed. And that's kept at a distance of 50 amas from the city. Rashi explains, because the chaff that flies away from the grains as they're being winnowed, they're winnowed at the gurin site. This motz, it's called, is mazik. It causes damage to the people, to the population. Continuing in the Gemara, Lo yase odom gurin kovua besoch shelo elo imkein yeshlo chamishim amo lechol ruach. Umarchik miniti oisov shel chavero uminiro bechdei shelo yazik. So this section of the Mishnah is teaching us that a goren kavua should not be set up in one's property unless there's a 50 amah
radius around it and the neighbor. And likewise, a person should keep his goren at a distanced from the trees, the saplings of his friend, and from the plowed field of his friend. How far? B'chdei shelo yazik. The Gemara asks, "My shno resha, that the shiur of distance that was given was 50 amas. U'may shno seifa, that the shiur of distancing was given as b'chdei shelo yazik." The distance called b'chdei shelo yazik at first glance appears to be a lesser distance. So that the Mishnah is giving us two shiurim, but of a different nature. Omar Abaye, seifa asa'on legeren she'eno kavua. This lesser amount is given for a situation where you have a temporary goren, a temporary granary. Heichi domi goren she'eno kavua. How would one describe? How could that be described? The goren, the temporary type, or a non-official, non-fixed goren. We can see illustration 389. Omar Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, kol she'enoi zoire berachas. Rashi describes that the goren she'eno kavua does not have a deep grain. Namely, the piles of grain are not very large. They're thin piles. And as such, the mere blowing of the wind without any human involvement will cause the separation of the chaff from the grain. It'll blow it away. After the grain has been threshed, then there's a winnowing process. The threshing breaks the connection between the grain and the chaff, and the stalk. And the winnowing process then blows it away. Whereas once they're crushed, they're still together, just mixed together. You need the winnowing process to separate the grain from the chaff. If you have piles of grain that are minimal, they're somewhat surface quality, namely the piles don't have depth to them, so the blowing of the wind will cause the separation. That would be a goren she'eno kavua. A goren kavua is a place where the piles are thick, and you have to insert the rachas. It's a utensil that he has illustrated that you slip it into the grain chaff mixture, toss the grain into the air, toss this mixture into the air, and by it being tossed in the air, the natural winds that blow at that point will separate the light chaff, blow it away, and the heavier grains would fall earthward. And you'll have basically pure grain. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Ashi Omar, he says that the shiur, the dimensions of the ratio, namely the 50 amas and the seifa, the shiur, the dimension of b'chdei shelo yazik, are really one and the same. Ma ta'am ko'omar. Ma ta'amo, what's the reason of marchikin gurin kavua minir chamishim amo? Why is that the shiur that's stated? Answer, k'dei shelo yazik. Because with that distance maintained, we will prevent damage. Meisvei, bring a Tanaic source that will present a difficulty for us afterwards. The source says, Marchikin Gurin Kavua Minoir Chamishim Amo. Ukashem Shemarchikin Minoir Chamishim Amo, Kach Marchikin Midluov Umikishuov Uminiti Oisov Uminiro Shochavero Chamishim Amo, Kedei Shelo Yazik. A number of these items we have seen in the Mishnah as well. In fact, if we make use of the arrows that we have, we see the arrow opposite this line beginning with Shem Archikin, and we go up a few lines into the Mishnah where the last full line of the Mishnah began Yesh. In the middle of that line, you find your Marchik Minati Oisov Shochavero Miniro. These expressions you find over here as well. You have Niti Oisov and Niro mentioned in this price. In the Mishnah, when it dealt with those items, it mentioned, keep it at a distance of b'chdei shelo yazik. In this source, what does it mention? It says, chamishim amo k'dei shelo yazik. Slight difference. The Mishnah just mentioned k'dei shelo yazik. So, bishlamo l'rav ashi nicha. using Rav Ashi's approach, this source as and the Mishnah are well aligned. Why is it? Because Rav Ashi said that the when you see the term Bechdei Shelo Yazik, that's explaining the Chamishim Amo. So Chamishim Amo is Bechdei Shelo Yazik, as was stated in this Tanaic source as well. The Mishnah just a bit terse, but they're one and the same. So according to Rav Ashi, everything's fine. Ela le'Abaye Kasha. But according to Abaye, that the shiur of Kedei Shelo Yazik is different than Chamishim Amo. How do you explain this source? This source says that Kedei Shelo Yazik is Chamishim Amo. Kasha. It's a technical difficulty for Abaye's approach. The Gemara continues. Bishlama mi mikshoyav umidiluav. I understand the need for keeping a distance between the granary and these plants, kishuin and diluin plants. The ozil avka, the dust and the debris that results in the winnowing process that takes place at the goren, the ozil avka, the osi belibe umotsui le, the debris goes, enters this vegetation, gets absorbed into the vegetation, and dries it out. Motsile, it dries it out. Elo miniro amai. What's the significance of the need for having a distance between the goren and one's near? What's near? Plowed field. Omar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavdo, Vitemo Rabbi Abba Bar Zutra, Mitnei, Sha'oisa Oisoi Golo. The accumulation of the debris in a freshly plowed field creates an overabundance of fertilizer. In other words, the decomposition of the debris from the granary and the earth will cause the production of what's called zevel or golol, and that'll be injurious. Rashi at the top says she'oisa oisa golol marbe lo zevel v'soyrifes azroim shenizru bo, and this overabundance of fertilizer will in effect ruin the plants that were planted there in this plowed area. The Tosfos at the top says she'oisa oisa golol afagav the golol mashbia hakarka, even though fertilizer is positive for agriculture, keshehi kulo golol, when the whole field is just basically made of fertilizer, mazik, then it damages. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.